Hi, good evening, everyone. Radiance by Design here, and also Veronica Entwistle at the helm. And I hope you're listening to Radiance by Design, and I hope that some of you got my Facebook post that said, "Call in, we're going to talk about the turbulence on our planet right now." Whoa, what a lot of stuff that's going on. What are you thinking about the election, the chicanery, and the Book of Revelations that we're living at, where all kinds of corruptions, we've talked about this before, ages back, but it's even more these days, where we're seeing more and more corruption, more payoff, more stuff behind the scenes than we ever heard before. You don't know who to trust. People are saying, oh my gosh, I don't know who's telling the truth. Well, we know that marketing is a big deal in these times on the planet. So it's like the truth, like our mass media, is marketed. It's marketed for who buys, who spends the most money. I remember when I was in radio officially and I was writing copy for ads many, many years ago in WILM radio. And what was really interesting is I was shocked. I'm an English major, and I was shocked. I said, first of all, if I write this way, then the grammar's bad. But my boss said, you have to realize that whoever's paying for it, you have to please them. So if they like bad grammar or bad spelling, you just have to go ahead and do that. So don't be arguing. And he said, you know, we have the right to ignorance. And also when I was watching the AP feeds that were coming in, I'd go, hey, that's a really interesting story. How come that's not going on? And my boss would say, well, that's not going to sell papers. That's not going to get us listeners or ads. But it's really big news. Well, it's not going to work as far as getting us ads. So I'm telling that little story because there's so much, I call it chicanery, or there's so much hidden hoo-ha going on behind the scenes, and it's not so hidden now, is it? We're knowing it, we're seeing it, we're becoming very aware of it. Now, who's telling the truth? You and I know there's a huge machine that's running the political activities, and I was having trouble getting clear recording here, radio reception, and Dawn explained I couldn't really bring up a page or anything while I'm on the air with you. So I'm going to kind of fumble around in my memory and talk about some of the stuff. There's a Perlmutter, there's a description. He's saying, does it matter if we vote in the election? And what he's talking about is the history of the distortions in elections throughout history in America. I think it's just choosing America. It's not all over the world, which probably exists all over the world, but the article's not about that. And it's really, really interesting and very disappointing is that there's so much stuff that's already set up that you and I would never get to vote on. And I won't go into specifics and names and all that. You can have your opinion on that because I'm not trying to preach politics. I am trying to preach about how we have to, I don't want to preach at all, but I'm trying to say is how we have to pay attention a lot to how you're feeling. Who do you trust? How do you know who you trust? For example, if they're going to be all helping us and making the world better, but we've got such a huge percentage of kids that are sick. Or you want to say we have the greatest nation on the planet, but our people are all kind of fat and have big guts. And if you look at the quality of the food, it's making everybody really sick and it's making a few people really rich. I wonder who's at the helm for that. And I wonder why in our society the concern for our health and our welfare and our education has been reduced so radically. Isn't that interesting? And so here we have an election and we've got old Trumpity Pump up there acting like an idiot, like a five-year-old. And yeah, the good thing is he's breaking up the baloney that's going on out there, but he is baloney. And I think it's just too bad that it takes that
that.
For us to get a little bit of self-awareness. In any case, enough preaching. We had a wonderful interviewee. Paradigm shifter is Nadia McCaffrey. And oh my gosh, she is an amazing woman, amazing woman. And I've known her off and on for many years now. And what she did, she's always been somebody who helps the homeless. She was always feeding people and going to the food banks and so on and so forth to help people. She just has that kind of heart. She's intensely spiritual in, I don't mean like in a religious sense where she's confined by somebody else's power issues, but where she really believes in, and she said it over and over in the interview and in our conversations before and after, but she believes that you do what's right. And she says, we all know what's right. And so she just goes out and helps, and she does it because it's right. Now, she has a very, very beloved son, and her son in his early 30s was in the, the reserves? And he has two children, and he is suddenly sent to Iraq. And that was such a shocker, like why he was in the reserves, right? So he goes over there, and he's helping people, and he's teaching Iraqi soldiers how to fight. But it turns out they had a bounty on some American teachers' heads or something, so he was shot, ambushed by a lot of his own people. So I didn't know how my friend was going to be able to survive this issue. She just adored her son and vice versa. And so what did she do? She was so furious and so deeply grief-struck that she had, you know, normally what they did in those days, this is I think 2003 or 2004, they used to bring home the deceased vets in little airports in different parts of the country, but people didn't know how many of them were being killed and how many were being brought home. And she yelled and screamed and yelled and screamed and yelled and screamed and yelled and screamed until and insisted that they bring her son home in a jet into a public airport. And she was on, a lot of you might have seen her, she was on TV. Lot, and she just kept storming and pounding the pavements and calling all the media, and she had so much attention put on the living disaster of all these vets. And she also went from there, not that she's ever left there, she hears from her son, and they kind of work in tandem from across the veil, and a lot of us who are intuitives know what that's like. But she's taken a lot of instruction from him, and it keeps her alive and well. And in her intense focus on wanting to make a difference and help people, she saw so many vets that were homeless and so on. So she started Veterans Villages. And she also started another project. And I'm sorry that I'm deficient in this, and I can't research because it'll mess up the way this sound is coming out. But in any case, she had... Farming vets, I think it is. So she started having them grow vegetables and things. She had a lot of them around her little apartment and so on. And she started having them growing things so that they could feed themselves and their family. And then it spread out more and more. And it spread out more and more beyond that. And so now in Washington, D.C., there's actually a department for farming vets, and she really got she got donations to help get land where the vets could develop their villages, and in their villages there's so much about education and so on. So they're getting supported for the service that they gave to this country, and that is a really big deal. And you can bless our dear Nadia McCaffrey for doing a lot of that. So doing her interview was a really delightful thing for me. So I was asking her, I said, you know, I don't really know how to handle when I see so many, homeless people. I'm worried about whether I've disconnected, but I don't think I have. So I see so many homeless people, and I don't know what to do or what to say for them. And, you know, so my heart goes into, like, I wish I could just go and talk to some of them, but you never know what danger lurks in that. They're not all vets either, but you never know what danger lurks inside a mind that is threatened by your appearance. Who knows what triggers which people? So I don't know what to say. So she had some really interesting ideas. First of all, she said, never, ever, ever give them money. Because you just don't know what they're going to do with it. It's not about whether they buy drugs. It's like sometimes they just throw it away, or sometimes it's a scam and they just collect the money and it costs other people. But she suggested that you go to thrift shops and places like that and get little bags, little purses and bags and so on. You stack those little bags, kind of a kit. So it'll be some soap and some toothpaste and some and a toothbrush and some maybe some Band-Aids and some handy wipes and, you know, stuff that anybody might need. And if they're on the street, they probably don't have that sort of thing. So you give them a care package like that. And I think it's a really good idea. She gave me a lot of ideas. And she goes and talks to them and sits with them. And she's just not afraid. And as she says, you just do what's the right thing. You don't have to be afraid. She also has had near-death experiences. And when you've had, like a lot of them say, Danyon Brinkley and others, a lot of them will say, well, once you've had a near-death experience and you've experienced being on the other side, even for a split second, you're not so afraid anymore, because being afraid to die, which is one of our ultimate fears, is gone, right? So anyway, Nadia McCaffrey, and I really recommend that you listen to the podcast, and it's on iTunes, Stitcher, Veronica, veronicaentwistle.com, or Speak Up Talk Radio. So far, maybe we'll get it out farther. And I'd love to hear what it is you think about it all. Now let's go back into the thing about corruption. And I really am a peacenik. You know, I'm not really big on war. I think killing one another for the sake of resources is not as practical as some other things that might have happened. But we all know that there's something about the money. Follow the money. Like I said, I was so shocked when I found out that the Crusades was a land grab. And I love to know the wars are outward person. I think evolving, we need to find different ways of achieving what it is we need. So one of the ways of achieving what we need, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to talk more about some of these other links I've been getting after we've done our meditation. And this is a meditation in which you create, you understand? You will create and you will heal and you will share with other people. It's better to do stuff like this than to hate people or to resist one another. So I want you to take a few deep breaths. Oh, the other thing is, when we all do it, when a bunch of us does it, it's really wonderful, because we create a beautiful ambiance in which each of us becomes much more lifted and much more inspired. So there are some of you that I count on to be listening to me every week. And I know some of your deep pains, and I really want you to call in. But in any case, I know some of your deep pains. So we're going to go into the sacred geometric structures to do several things. One of the things we want to do is to learn a little bit about geometrics, and how when you create these shapes with your mind, you can actually create a safe place in which to work out some of your emotions, okay? So I want you to learn some of the shapes. The other thing is, we're going to go in there and we're going to do some creation for ourselves and for everybody in our lives. And then we're going to go in and do some healing work. So join me in this, and we're in this together, because we are a species, right? So let's call in above your head, about 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball, and drop a filament of light from from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. Good work. And then I want you to, from the upper golden ball down to about waist height, right? Drop a pyramid. I know you're waiting for us, Aaliyah, so I'm just going to keep going. I hope you don't mind waiting. And then upside down, with its point going into the lower golden ball, another pyramid. And when you press the two pyramid bases together, you get yourself a diamond shape. I'll bet you noticed that. Huh? Good. And now inside of that, I want you to create a beautiful crystal ball. I forgot to say push out the bases of the diamond, you know, where it sticks out in the middle. Push it out far enough so that you can create inside, because we're going to have a nice workspace in there. And create a crystal ball inside. And when you create the crystal ball, look at the sparking hues. Aren't they beautiful? And you can feel a more feminine energy. It's a softening influence. And now move inside from that, and you're in a star, a beautiful star. It's a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David. And it's also known as the Merkaba. Merkaba is what you can use to shift dimensions. And I want you to spin and spin and spin and spin. I love spinning in these because I always get really dizzy for starters. It makes me feel like it's real. I am spinning. Spin and spin and spin. And as you do, look in front of you. There's this beautiful screen. It's a movie screen, and you're going to create a movie. And the first movie we create is you becoming what you want to become. And I want you to see yourself awakening, opening, and becoming strong and vibrant, beautiful or handsome, and really radiating into the world in such a way as, even if you're just walking through the store or a park or something, people just feel safer around you. People feel your presence. I want to see myself be consciously multidimensional. What is it you want? See yourself becoming that at this time. And now wrap it in light. Move it over to the left. And we're going to create another movie on the next screen. And this movie is you doing a project that you want to do. It can be finding home and family. It could be writing a book, a movie. I'm here in LA now. Could be doing some TV or some movie scripts or something. And just see yourself doing that. And see all the resources coming, the people, the money. You needed $100,000 for a movie and it comes. Or it would probably be costing you a lot more than that. But just see in your vision, in comes whatever the resources are that you need and they flow to you. And you see yourself using these resources, the people, the time, the space, and so on, to create the dream, your project that you really dream about doing. It can be home and family, you know, I said that already. It can be around the world trip. It can be a multidimensional trip. It can be a nice hairdo. Anything you want, just see all the necessary parts coming together. And now as your project nears completion, see all the resources coming together again in order to keep your project functioning right till its natural denouement, its natural cessation. Good. Yeah. And see yourself be really, really pleased and proud. We can stop and absolutely honor our creativity and wrap it up and light and move it over to the left. And now, voila, the Galactic Healing Center. Now, I know several of you are going through quite a few crises. And I want to say, okay, the first thing is you choose your healing guides. How many guides do you want to choose? Remember, each of you has a whole team of guides around you. And then each guide has a whole team of guides around them. Or you could say we have realms and realms of consciousness out in the universal fields. All right, there you go. And so we're having a healing team
come in a special healing team into the Galactic Healing Center. And we feature there one bed, a beautiful healing bed, table. And the first person to flop out on that table is you. Off you go, off you go. And what is it about you that you would really like to advance and heal right now? And I want you to be able to tell your team all about that. Now, if you don't know what it is, ask them and they'll tell you all about what you need. And that's kind of fun, isn't it? Good work. Good work. And I'm asking for some specific advice, and they're giving it to me, and I might jot it down after. I'm not going to share it with you guys out in the global community. Yeah, I don't want you to have to look after me, do I? So tell me what's going on in yours when you call me back, okay? Good. Now, when you feel like you've really got something going, and usually you'll get a lot of energy happening here. So wrap it in light and move it over to the left. And then our healing team will replicate themselves. Might even get the odd different guy in there, or female, or androgynous being, or animal, or whatever you have. And you put a fresh table out. I'm going to put several fresh tables out. One is with a wonderful woman who's very conscious, but she has a lot of physical things that have happened to her in her life, and some of those take way too long to heal. So she's been struggling off and on for years. She went through the whole either fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, all of that kind of immune stuff. She went through a lot of health challenges. And then if she has dental problems, it gets impossible for her to get over it for quite a while. She just has a lot of like pain, sensitivity. And there's more coming up, although she's handled things beautiful and she now has a new job. So I want to put her on a table and wrap her in light and have the healing beings absolutely love her. Just love her. See what it is she's been doing to strive for greater consciousness on this planet. There you are. That's it. And now we have this other table. Here's a friend of ours who's been suffering from terrible, terrible pain. She's got tooth problems, body problems. She just doesn't have much of a life except how do I get through this next day with all the pain? And we're bringing her in. And her guides and the guides, the healing team, they're working with the back of her neck, the back of her skull. Good. And the base of her spine. And now I see the healing is running through her body. There we are. And we're going to wrap her in light too, move it over to the side. And here's another woman who, there's two of them, three of them, and they have terrible hip pains. Hip, a couple of you guys as well. So let's all have all these beds there with people with hip pain. There's so many people are getting artificial hips these days, and it's quite sad in a way, or at least it's brilliant that they can do that. But it's sad because we have an unlimitable aspect of our nature, and just to learn to tap it would make sense, wouldn't it? How do we tap that unlimitable part of our nature? So the first one, I want to say, you have a lot of health issues. She's got something called a lipoma, or a kind of an interesting it's kind of like a strange fatty cystic kind of lump thing. And it goes on in several parts of her body, pressing against nerves and so on. It can become a very big issue. And she has many other situations. Oh, my goodness. So we're moving through her body. That's it. And her guides and angels. Okay. And we're going to move that over to the side. And we have a young woman who's only 19, and she's having that kind of thing as well, but they're sort of popping up in her, and where they rise in your system, and they function kind of like cysts in the way that they get away from, away, they get in the way of the circulation of nerves and lymph and so on. And she has to go in and have this, what do you call it when they go? Well, they're going to take it out, essentially. But I think they might be trying to aspirate it first. And she's very frightened. So we're just giving her a lot of hugs and love. And that's it. And the healing team is working very hard on her because the source of this is somewhere in the... Oh, it's funny because there's something about her spine. They say the source is very much in that. Okay, so we're going to wrap her in light and see if there's someone else here that needs the answers. There are many, many, but here's another woman. And she's not eating very much. She's tall and she's beautiful, but she shorts herself of food all the time, so she's too thin. And she has a lot of body pain, and she goes for surgeries. And I think it's really a hard way to handle things. So I'm suggesting that the healing team might work with her and help her out. There they go. And they're working hard on her base chakra, right on the base of her spine. Good. To give her, what is it, pleasure? To give her joy and pleasure in being a human being, which she's never really had. I wonder if she knows that. And let's wrap her in light and move it over to the side. Now we have another one who just popped in. And this is a young, beautiful mother who has a wonderful husband, and is now, she's got very severe breast cancer, and she wanted to not do chemotherapy, so she's doing the black salve, and she's doing a lot of enemas and all kinds of holistic things, but so far it's only gotten healed, it's been healing it, but not totally. So we're moving through her relationship with the guides. There we go. Now, there was another article that was talking about experiments that they did in Russia, and that it's very possible with your thinking and with your feeling for you to really release the lineage, to release your DNA, or at least to open it, to expand into a different way of being. It's very, very possible. So I'm looking at this young mother and I'm going, oh, it's very possible for you to release whatever it is that's triggering this breast cancer. And I think for healing, it's really important for us to remember it's possible. And boy, is it ever possible. But I'm not, you know, I can't decide who's going to get better and who isn't. But the healing team is working quite diligently on her. Now let's wrap that whole forum in light and move it over to the side. And now we're going to do the political part. Should we do that? Actually, no, I don't want to do the political part yet. I want us to go in there, and I want you all to take yourselves in there and look at, I talked about being unlimited and being unlimitable. I want all of us to go in there and work on some aspect of our own futures. So, for example, you could say, I mean, I'm joking about my own stuff a lot, and I say, okay, I have a Mars in Pisces, so I won't get anywhere because I can't seem to focus on going forward, okay? Well, all that means is my relationship to time and space has designated that I have that. And astrologically, that's the way it seems. But look, if we are unlimitable, I want you to pick something that impedes your ability to reach for something big in your world. What is it that you blame for not being able to reach for, I'm like my mother, I'm like my father, I'm like my great aunt Lucy, whatever, okay? I want each of us to go into the Galactic Healing Center, each of us be surrounded by our healing team, and if you want, you can flop on one of those tables, good, and then focusing on something that you think is holding you back that's in your DNA. I want you to focus on that. Good. And then we're having our guides and angels come in with whatever healing tools they have. But I want to recommend for you to also see bringing in from the universes, bringing in with your mind as a sculpting tool, some absolutely stunning lights. You might want to use the violet flame, Saint Germain's gift to us. Or sometimes I like to use a like a golden prod or a golden light washer and have it hit the caricature of your DNA, have it hit the end of it that is responsible for, in my case, the Mars in Pisces. Just delete that little guy and really give myself some release from it so that I can do and be what it is I love to do and be, keep going and not be blindsided. But there we go, by that. And I can feel a real buzz coming from this. What is it you're trying to get rid of? I see some people getting clear of maybe chronic pain, somebody else, some sort of addictions. Yeah, and what we do again is reach up with your mind as a sculpting tool and bring down whatever is the healing tool you've decided on. And it could be guidance. It could be a light. I call it the light bottle washer. Make it a smallish one so you can almost make it a fiery small one so it can touch the ends of some DNA strands. Or it can be the violet flame, which you whoosh through your DNA. We can do this, you guys. We can do this. Or maybe even the parts of us that want to fight for our right. There's other ways of getting in our way. It's not fighting all the time. You know, that's it. Now wrap that in light and move it all over to the side. Now we're going to do the political one that I started doing a while back. And Aaliyah, I hope you're still waiting because we're going to come back to you in a few minutes. And here's a table, and on the table, we're going to put the huge network of dominance, control, and power as it is created or laced around the world. That's pretty intricate, isn't it? Do you see it? Look at all the ways things are knitted together and all the intricacies with which they crisscross in various parts of the world. And in the minds of various leaders. There we are. Oh my. And now just because it was always like that, it doesn't have to stay that way. You and I know that at this time in history, we've been told over and over that we're going to be able to step out of lineage. We're going to be able to step out of karma. We're going to be able to step into a shift, into a whole new way of being. But that requires your activation and my activation to consciously clear our need to be combative, our need to hurt the land, the flowers, the plants, the oceans, the animals, our need to just throw pollution everywhere because we're busy having our needs met in the moment. Good. And I want to see how, as we wake up to what can be done, it's amazing. It's like the 100th monkey. I wrote this in my little flyer for those of you who saw it. It's like the 100th monkey. Instead of washing the potato, the one monkey washed the potato, and then all the monkeys on the little adjoining islands all began to wash their potatoes before they ate them. So we're like the 100th monkey, meaning that as we really experience that we don't have to go through being combative and hurting and killing and maiming and all that and leaving a huge mess anywhere, we don't have to do it that way. We can empower ourselves, bringing in higher lights and really create a life that we haven't experienced before. It's like I was saying, that one link that tells about the corrupt history of elections throughout America. We don't have to look at that and say, oh, 'twas ever thus, so it has to be that way now. No, it doesn't. You can rise above that. And who can rise above it? If you can, we all can. If you can, the 100th monkey, and it's like you and I are like the 100th monkey, but we don't just wash potatoes. We wash ourselves of the edicts of old patterns. So now wrap that in light. Wrap it in light. Good. And now I want you to reach up with your mind as a sculpting tool. And once more, call in some amazing lights from out there. Call them in and bring them down to the top of your head. And bring them down in through your head, neck, and swinging round and round in your heart. Popping up through your shoulders, down your arms, coming out your hands. And your hands are simply radiant with this amazing electrical frequency light stuff. I don't know what color yours are, but I see some of you having like gold and some having fuchsia and gold and green, some like the colors of the chakras. I want you to reach up and then start patting the parts of the world where they need that infusion of higher and higher frequency energies. Remember, it's contagious, and we can get it going and stimulate the effect of other people doing that around the world, where people are sick, where people are refugees for their lives, where people are being scourged and blown up by crazy people who forget the value or maybe didn't ever learn the value of life. See, around and around the world, you send your influence around and around the world, and then it comes back up as it goes around the world, into your hands, up your arms, swirls round and round in your chest, in your heart, shoots back up through the heart, up in through the neck, straight out into the great central sun, and then you come back down. It shoots in through your body, right down into the core of the earth. Close off your galactic healing center and spin and spin and spin and spin as you jump into your star tetrahedron. And as you spin and spin and spin, you land here. And we're going to talk to Aaliyah and anyone else who chooses to phone in at this point. Hi, Aaliyah. How are you, darling? Did you go away? Did I take too long? I guess I did. Okay. So one of the, I had several things that I wanted to talk about. One of the things I want to say to you all right now is things are crazy out there and they are changing and we're being threatened right, left, and center. And you know, I was reading about in Brussels, for example, where these awful bombs and so on went off, and they really wanted to cause a terrible fracas. And a lot of the people got together and they just prayed and prayed for the ISIS people, because reaction breeds reaction breeds reaction. So they chose not to react, but they chose just to pray and pray. And I don't know what kind of prayers they were saying. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because the whole, the reality of how on earth do you combat North Korea, for example? Do we just get, hi, Aaliyah, you're back on. Hi, honey.
Yeah, you keep on cutting out, so we'll see if this works.
Where did you go? You hiding on me?
I don't know where you go.
I keep.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I'm sorry. Do I keep cutting out all the time?
Yeah, there's a bad connection here.
Oh, darn. The whole thing's been like that then, huh?
Probably. I think that, you know, I hear sections that are just, you know, blank. So we'll see.
Oh. Well, see if you can tell us something interesting before we get blanked out again.
Well, I'm interested in what you have to say this time. So do you have information from your guides for me?
Let's see now. Beautiful Aaliyah. Yeah, you're coming into a time. Is that what you want?
Okay. Oh, that was very garbled.
All right, I'm gonna start walking and see if that helps at all.
You're coming into a time. Yeah, you're coming into a time. What?
Are you gonna move? Is that what you want to do?
Oh, I want to. You know, I want things to start really moving for me, in so many ways. Yeah.
Well, I feel like stuff is gonna start moving for you, but it looks like you might actually even move your home. And that there's a change. Have you got a business going, or did you have a business going?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about just really going back into the coaching aspect and combining it with the tarot reading. And I've been trying to get this calendar on my site where people can sign up, and it's just been taking all the technology aspect of this is just horrendous right now.
Oh, it is?
And then why? I'm meeting. Yeah, I don't know why. It just seems to be moving at a slow pace. Maybe because I don't want to handle it anymore. But in any case, I met a few people recently with this one possible opportunity in the Virgin Islands. And then another one, to help start a retreat. But I'm not sure how viable that is. And this other one, these people here in Encinitas that I met. So I'm kind of interested in seeing what your read on any of that might be.
Oh, I know. They came from Canada, did they?
No, somebody's connected with Canada. Yeah. Who's connected with Canada? Yeah. I think the Virgin Islands thing might be Canada. I'm not sure. Yeah. But the idea is to start.
Well,
a retreat.
It just seems very interesting. Yeah. That you're going to get very involved. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
You're going to get involved. I think part of the problem is you've been too isolated where you are. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
I think that's going to change. It looks like there are several people going to be involved in you doing two different projects, and you just asked about two different projects, but you're going to be pulled in two directions. And in both cases, you're going to be, you seem to be more of the planner, the one who starts things going. You know, you aren't necessarily going to be a practitioner. Do you care about that?
I don't really care anymore, except to, I was telling this guy today, I said, what I like to do is I like to coach people who really are pretty aware creatively. You know, they're ready to move into their creative work, you know, and they already know they're highly creative people. So they're the people that will change things, you know, for everyone else. So I'm interested in working with those people. And, and I'm also helping people, you know, start those businesses. But yeah, like the planner, like the, you know, inspirational side of this, but also the brainstorming side. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I think when you, one of the retreats that you're going to be doing, or it might even be a center you're involved in creating, is more like a place for people to push the edges of their thought. It's not just a rest. It's a work. It's a workspace,
yes.
Girl.
Yeah, and that's the retreat I plan. This other woman is planning more like a healing retreat. But for me, it's a creative retreat. It's a creative center where people can brainstorm their ideas and work together. I've had this in mind for a long time, and it's something I want to do. You know, I just need to have the support system for it. This guy I was talking to today, I said, I'm missing that piece. It's that partnership that needs to be, you know, someone else needs to do certain pieces of this that, you know, because people always ask me, oh, you've written so many books, you know, how are they doing? I'm like, well, I'm not the one to promote them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can only wear so many hats. And even though I'm very capable in all these different fields, it comes down to, you know, what makes me happy. I have to follow that, not, you know, how do I make money kind of thing. It's like, it's a different way to look at things. And I'm kind of doing this the first time myself, but I recognize that I can meet other people this way as well, because it really, you know, when we don't focus on making money as the base value of anything we do, we start to open up our soul, and that's what we really want to do. We want to shift to that. We don't want to shift to simply having more prosperity in the old system. I think we want to shift the whole system, and that requires that we shift our base value first.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Tell me, what do you think about the election? What do you think's going on? And do you think there's a shift going on in the American public?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really follow the elections. I just started following Bernie Sanders a little bit. I mean, I know Trump is just, you know, somebody. I know this person that went viral on Facebook. I met this person the other week, and she's a handwriting analyst. And she compared the handwriting of Trump to Hitler, and it was just the same, exactly the same. That's a little scary. But, you know, the thing is, what I see is I see people, this election is really interesting in the sense that people are finally saying they're fed up with the system. They recognize the system is basically the corporations are in bed with the politicians, and they're basically just, you know, making sure that certain people make a lot more money. And so the human rights and the American citizen has become just basically worker bee to produce more honey for the, you know, the queen and the hive. And it's just not, it's not working. And so what I see is I see this intense polarization that's happening, and it's needed to do that. You know, when an egg separates, it basically has to polarize. It has to, you know, two sides have to go in different directions. And that's what I see is happening with the political system. I'm not very political. I kind of look at it, sort of kind of be moved, and I don't really pay too much attention to it. But what I see is I see that it's a necessary thing, and there's expression of people who have
a lot of us have talked about the shift for a long time, and I'm thinking that the shift is slower than what we thought, but I think this is a part of it where most of the systems cannot stay the same. And I do think people are waking up to that reality. Not everybody, but some.
Yeah, what I was seeing is that the new energy coming in is forcing the old energy in because this old energy is very reactive because it's fear-based. Fear-based energy is reactive. Mm-hmm. And so when new energy comes in, even if it's the highest form of love, which, you know, Matt Kahn defines love as completely different from what we would define it to be, what we think of, and I understand this too, love is not an emotion, it's a feeling. So that feeling of unconditional love is not the passion that we think it is. It's actually more of an empty feeling, you know, because you don't have the emotions in that space. I went through this kind of empty period myself, and I was like, wow, this is exactly what he was talking about. It doesn't feel like love. There's no passion in it, there's no desire in it, there's no thought in it. It's just an empty space. And I think that when you hit a certain level of this shift, you end up in this seemingly empty space. And the reason why it seems to be empty is that we're used to having thought. We're used to having emotions. And most of those emotions are reactionary. You know, and, you know, we might be 1 minute high and the next minute low, but both of those are not, they're not their essence. They're basically your being having experience. But when you get more to your essence.
Well, it's interesting because you use the word essence, and I think when our essence, which I believe is love, is allowed to be, then everything is going to be very different. But we don't have that much.
Right. Well, and that's what I was telling this guy today, who, you know, he's, you know, on this path himself. And I said, you know, this, he wants to affect an entire town, which is great. I'm like, well, you could take it even further than that. But what I feel is what we're really doing, that we're really on the same path, even though what he's doing is different from what I'm doing. And what it is uncovering more and more and more of your original self, uncovering it. Because it's been covered over by all the protectionism that an unsafe world demands of the ego. The ego reacts in order to protect the individual from what's defined to the ego as being an unsafe world, a world where they have to dog eat dog, and, you know, if I don't cheat, then I won't make any money, and if I don't attack first, then they'll attack me, and I can't trust that guy over there. It's all very reactionary. It's all very fear-based. So we move into a higher vibrational reality. That's what's going to happen. We have the fear-based elements, those people that identify with that kind of thinking become very reactive in that kind of space. So you have people who attend Trump rallies who are in high reactive mode. And that's just the reaction, you know, because they can interpret anything that comes within the filter of fear, which is a very low vibration.
And that is actually, that's probably where the shift is changing. And I liked what you were saying about love, because, well, actually, a new level of love is not to be attached to holding on to whatever is the object of love, too. Because that's fear in another way, isn't it? It's all, everything has to be attached, love, or else you're not safe, yeah?
Yeah, unconditional love is inclusive love. Inclusive love is different from possessive love. You can't possess anything.
Well, that's
anything.
Essentially what I was just saying, you know.
Yeah,
that, as soon as you have attachment with it, it's a different thing. So what, I don't want to go too far into this, but I think what we're looking at is people learning to bless one another instead of, there's my phone going, instead of fearing one another. I think that's the big thing, right?
Yeah, I think it comes down to actually being more in the feeling space than being in the emotional space.
Right.
Because the high heart is a feeling space, and the emotions are produced by separation. Separation, the concept and the feeling of being separate produces emotions. But when you're in a feeling space, there is no separation. So you can't possess anything if it's not outside. You know what I'm saying? It's like the only way you can possess something is if it's separate from you.
Right.
You can't. You know, and there's no such thing as possession in the higher space.
But I think, and we have to close off here, but I think what's happening is people are, you know, we talk about possession, for example. People are really realizing, let me see, that they're being bamboozled by a whole entire system making us feel good when we're kind of enslaved in a lot of ways, and that's the whole fear thing. And I think people are waking up to it and realizing. I think there's a huge awakening going on all over the place. So whether Bernie, for example, gets in or not, there's still a lot of people that'll never be the same when it comes to it. The revelations are huge, you know, and the possibility of that kind of love happens amongst some individuals, but en masse, I think it's possible for it to be happening more and more because people are beginning to look the fear right in the eye, see where it comes from. It comes from a legitimate place, you know?
Right. Well, it stands to reason that the people that are now incarnated on Earth have to be in some level of their being masters, because if the whole shift includes the entire population of the Earth, then at some level of their being, they know what's going on, and they know that they're timed to wake up, and that they'll wake up when, you know, and then suddenly will be very much like a flock of birds that turn like one bird in flight.
Yeah, that's right. But we, but you know, one of the things that I was reading in one of these wonderful links that I got was that there are huge realms of consciousness, which you and I know already, huge realms of consciousness out there. But one of the jobs of humanity is for us to individuate. So as we individuate enough, then we're prepared to be reaching for the huge realms of consciousness and know that we won't be treated like a hive or a group and be herded everywhere, that we had to get to our individuality in order to really make that connection. And I think that is worth thinking about. And this, I have to say goodbye, but this is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm talking to Aaliyah tonight. You've been listening to Radiance by Design. And I think just remembering to send out high-frequency energies. Look at your fears and clear as many of them as you can, because they're infectious and contagious. And so is your unconscious, unmitigated love as well, is very much, when I say unconscious, I mean essential. And it's also contagious. Take some, pass it on. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. And thank you, Aaliyah.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk again. Good night.